Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, welcome into a bonus episode of Stone Cold Shows. And it really is a bonus because I'm joined by both Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan on this bonus episode. Follow them on X at Polillo and at JoshJordan975 and read their work on sportsmap.com. If you're a Texans fan, the three of us launched season two of our Texans on Tap podcast. We'll be doing live reactions following every game this season, including Friday after Texans Steelers preseason game. So guys, Yair Diaz has been everything you could have hoped for this year. Only one of three guys on the Astros roster to be at or above 300 as we record. Given the desperate nature and times of this offense, is there a case to be made that the Astros should be carrying three catchers so that you can work Caratini and Diaz into the lineup more?
I don't think it's vital because I don't think Espada should be at all inhibited by playing them both in the same game, because you only have two. You're not going to pinch hit for either. So the only way you're risking losing the designated hitter is if an injury occurs, which would just be an emergency in-game situation. But if you wanted to call up that third catcher just in case, Aledmys Diaz is on the Astros 26-man roster. I mean, are you kidding me? So it would be an easy swap to make. Caratini, there would probably be a law of diminishing returns if you made him the everyday ninth guy in the lineup. I don't mean in the order, but as the ninth player as part of it. But ride the wave while you can because of all the inept spots in the order from five down over the last, well, too long a period of time and the throwing of darts, trying different guys on the major league roster. Caratini, in his opportunities, has been a consistent producer. So he and Diaz should both be in their starting lineup now, a very strong majority of the time. Diaz virtually every day.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're at least proven big league hitters at this point. Get him in the lineup. And, you know, Jake Myers, I think we kind of know what he is. He's a good defensive outfielder, but, you know, he's going to be a guy that hits around 230. Jeremy Pena, I think we're starting to see that he kind of is who he is. Just, you know, it kind of not a lot of power. You're a lot of legging out infield singles, and he plays great defense for you. And, you know, the batting average is better this year, but the power hasn't come along, and a lot of strikeouts, not a lot of walks. So I think you know what you have right there. So yeah, I think that's what you need to roll with. If they want to bring up Salazar, that's fine. It's just a shame. You know, Chaz McCormick is not giving you anything. You wonder if it's just a down year for him. Maybe he bounces back next year, or maybe this is just who he is. Maybe last season was just kind of a great year for him, and he's fallen back to the mean there. So we'll see moving forward, but I don't see how you get Diaz or Caratini out of the lineup right now. And I think the key to the victory the other day against the Rangers, DiZenzo gave you something at first base. So you didn't have to use your DH on him. You got to add the DH to a productive player at first base. Mm-hmm. And then Dubon finally comes through with a big hit. And that kind of makes a difference in the lineup. You just see how underpowered this lineup is with Kyle Tucker. Now that we've had a bigger sample size, that they were good without him early on, but you know, they've fallen back to the pack. They got to find a way to get some production at the bottom of that order.
Right. You look for positives and beacons of hope where you can get them. Right? The Astros offense showing signs of emerging from what had been a better than week-long coma. Right? If Yordan Alvarez gets on a sustained power jag, right, he's a guy capable of a 10, 12 home run month. This season, he's endured a couple of long droughts. He stunk the month of May. He only hit two before going back-to-back against the Rangers Tuesday and Wednesday. He'd gone 12 consecutive games without a home run. But we know Yordan Alvarez is a player capable of MVP-level offensive performance.
He's been nowhere, anywhere close to that, his body of work this season. Still a very plus player, but down from what Yordan Alvarez has been since becoming a full-time major leaguer, and not remotely, say, in the stratosphere of Aaron Judge or Juan Soto, right? The two guys who carry a Yankees lineup that otherwise is bleh, to a top three offense in the American League this season, right? Yordan must produce in a big way. Altuve, the power drought continues, but at least he's picked up a couple of walks in recent games, along with slapping out hits. Right, Altuve's top three in the American League hits. He's not top 20 in runs scored, which speaks to the on-base percentage isn't all it could be if he was walking at a decent percentage as opposed to the decline that he's experienced this season, and the run production of the guys behind him. Remember, Yordan Alvarez started the season 8-for-50. It's a 160 batting average with runners in scoring position. Well, he was leaving Altuve in scoring position a good amount of the time. Alex Bregman this season's been okay with runners in scoring position, nothing special. Right, their best producer has been gone now for over 2 months, and no indication Kyle Tucker's coming back before September 1st, the earlier. So the alphas, the A's, Altuve and Alvarez have to both be superior if the Astros are have a plus offense. Right, you hope for contributions here and there from guys who there's just not reason to expect to be quality, consistent, good offensive players. First base, Peña, Dubon, Myers, McCormick. As in the majority of the batting order, once you get past Yiner Diaz.
I think the other ripple effect we have to discuss too is if you're going to do this with Yiner and Caratini playing every day, that means Yordan's going to be your regular left fielder, basically, right? If you're using your DH spot on somebody else. And, you know, overall, he's looked pretty good, but he did have that misplay, I thought, in the Rangers game where that ball went past him in the outfield. You don't see him do that too often, but, you know, he's not the best outfielder in the world, but I think where they are, you just kind of have to take that trade-off.
And factor in that after next Thursday, the Astros play 18 days in a row. So I just don't think, and a lot of people will scoff, well, you're just standing in the outfield. We get it. It's not running down up and down an NBA court for 40 minutes of a 48-minute game. But, you know, if you're on your feet as a big guy and you are chasing balls down in the gap, there's no way they're going to make him their everyday left fielder. So it'll be on Espada, and it also factors into the decision-making to parcel out the playing time. But we're about to mid-August, so it needs to be full-blown merit system. If Caratini is going to continue to produce when in there, he has to have a spot in the lineup.
Yeah, and it's not just about being on your feet out in left field. It's also the thought of one of your best hitters in Yordan diving after a ball in the outfield. I mean, you don't want that guy running down liners, and that's a frightening proposition, but it speaks to where you're at on this team, and you need production out of so many different spots. And you only have so many levers to pull. Yordan being in left field just may be a necessary evil. So let's stay on offense. Charlie brought up Bregman, obviously not having a great year, has been widely documented, but he's still one of your more capable hitters on this lineup. Numbers be damned, in a clutch situation, you still expect that guy to perform, and he does a lot of times. We've talked about it. You know, his contract's up. Jim Crane's probably not going to back up the Brinks truck to keep him, but can you afford to lose a guy like Bregman in this lineup, especially if there's an eventuality that Tucker walks?
It's a challenging spot. Alex Bregman's not good enough to get a blank check. He hadn't been a superstar since 2019. He turns 31 years old about opening day next year. So going 6 years plus on him would be stupid unless you're accepting that it's a massive loss leader, sunk cost deal at the end of the contract, where if Jim Crane's thinking, 5 years from now, my family will have sold the team and it won't be my problem. But Alex Bregman, while having a very disappointing season, the worst season of his career, he's still an average major league third baseman. And for anyone thinking, whoa, he's way better than average. No, he's not. He's 15th in WAR. He's like 18th in OPS among major league third basemen. Royce Lewis of the Twins hasn't played 40 games this season because of all his injuries. He's a higher WAR than Alex Bregman because of the massive run production that he's brought to the table. And Alex Bregman, you know, high water raises all boats. Bregman has benefited from the Astros' overwhelming success over these last several years. Now, Bregman has contributed to it, but let's be real. For his career, he's a .235 hitter in the postseason. So that he's been Manny Ramirez or Jose Altuve in October and into November baseball is myth, right? He's had huge moments The Game 5 game winner against the Dodgers will be eternally etched into Astros lore. But Alex Bregman as the Jerry West of the Astros lineup, Mr. Clutch, it's overblown. This season, with runners in scoring position, he's batting .257. Overall, he's batting .252. But you at least expect credible at-bats from Bregman. That'll put the ball to bat, a greater percentage of the time than most guys. But part of Bregman's downfall this season is his walk percentage is down by more than 45%. Now, some of that is Bregman just hadn't been a very good player this season. I think in part, once they sifted through their lineup options, Bregman now bats immediately in front of Yordan Alvarez. Well, if you're a pitcher, who's the more daunting prospect of the two? So you're going to attack Alex Bregman rather than work around Alex Bregman or pitch daintily to Alex Bregman if you know you're bringing Yordan Alvarez to the plate with an extra runner on base. But that's on Alex Bregman for not doing more damage, taking advantage of that spot in the batting order. So if you're talking 5 years, $125 million, the Altuve extension, no thanks. But that's in a vacuum. What is your alternative? But keep in mind, if you're giving Alex Bregman $20 million next year, right? Cash on the barrelhead this year, he's making 30. The extension's $20 million. That's what's counted against the tax. If he re-signs at no raise, let's say he does 5 years, $100 million, what he's finishing up now, that takes the Astros to the first threshold right there without having first base addressed, without having a couple of bench spots addressed, multiple spots on the pitching staff addressed. So Jim Crane, in charting the overall payroll, of course, for this franchise, it's a tough one. Matt Chapman had a very soft market. One of the guys that Scott Boras overplayed last offseason, Matt Chapman settled for 3 years, $51 million with the Giants. He has the ability to opt out after the season. Matt Chapman, indisputably, a better player than Alex Bregman this season. Maybe that's a template if you're the Astros. We'll give you that Chapman contract, and if you're great and want to opt out, fine. But if I'm the Astros, I am not making a long-dollar, long-year commitment to Alex Bregman, who hasn't been a great player in 5 years and has been the worst he's been this season when he's never been more incentivized to be outstanding. And go back to spring training, Alex Bregman. I've never felt better. I've had a great offseason. I've been healthy the entire offseason. I expect to have the best season of my career. Hey, he has 7 weeks to turn it around. August is supposed to be his month. Well, he's batting .259 the first week of August. But Alex Bregman should not command superstar money because he's not a superstar, and he's also now in his 30s.
I think with Bregman, he just stands out in this lineup, especially right now because you don't have Tucker. But it's his approach at the plate that I think fans really like, because how often do we get on here and we complain? Guys are they're pull happy, or they're not willing to go the other way in a big situation, or they're just trying to hit home runs. Well, Bregman does like to pull it in the Crawford boxes, of course, but you can see he's smart. He knows that pitchers love to just try and dot him up on the outside corner, especially at the knees, because you know, pitchers know he wants to pull the ball, but Bregman's a smart hitter. When he gets in a situation where you just need a base hit, you don't need a home run, he knows that pitchers consider that his weak spot. So he's happy to just slap the ball into right field when they try and attack him on the outside corner with fastballs. And he gets that done. He did it in the Rangers series just the other day. We've seen him do it in the postseason. So as a fan, you like that, hey, finally somebody has an approach here. Like, we don't have to hit the ball 400 feet. We just need to score a run, and Bregman's happy to do that. It'd be nice if some of the other guys in the lineup, somebody like Peña, if he could get a little better at that. But, you know, for right now, Bregman stands out in this lineup because there's not a lot of other quality around him.
If you finish last in an ugly person contest, it doesn't mean you're handsome or beautiful. Alex Bregman this season's been plain Jane. Right, plenty of pop-outs and lazy fly balls the other way. He's not remotely close to an elite player. Right, Astros are playing the Red Sox this weekend. Rafael Devers is an elite offensive player. Alex Bregman doesn't hold a candle to him this year. And Rafael Devers got $326 million in his extension from the Red Sox in the offseason. Well, he signed it when he was 26 years old. Right, the Red Sox are going to consume, presumably, all of his prime in that contract. Alex Bregman, unless he has some sort of renaissance, is already past his peak, right? There's a difference between being past your peak and washed up, but Alex Bregman should not be commanding huge dollars and huge years.
Part of the dynamic is also how early Alex Bregman is swinging at pitches and how ineffective he's been. Because when Bregman's at his best, he owns the strike zone, very patient, and works those walks. Now it seems like the pitches that he's sitting on early, he's not really able to handle. So he's either popping up early in at bats or he's getting down early in counts. And that's just very anti-Alex Bregman when he's at his best. And while we're looking forward, it's also looking less and less likely that the Astros will get back Luis Garcia. We still know he's a non-throw right now. Does this information and his trajectory back and kind of seeing how maybe they rushed him to try to get him in before the end of the season, does this help inform us of expectations for the starting rotation next year, given the fact that both Javier and Urquidy are both rehabbing from TJ? And without them, you're looking at Fromber, Brown, Arrigetti, and Blanco as your only starters. So does this really inform what Dana Brown really needs to do in free agency or how he needs to construct his roster going forward into next season?
Yes, and this overlaps payroll decisions with guys like Alex Bregman. We talked earlier in the week that for 2025, they have $19.5 million of Abreu, $11.5 million of Montero, $17 million, presumably $10 million of McCullers. Javier's another 12.8, and he's not coming back until midseason at the earliest. And we all recall, after admittedly rushing Javier back, how that worked out. So yeah, that Garcia is coming back this season, let's deem it extremely unlikely, along with qualitatively, what would there to be expected from Luis Garcia if he joins the team? Justin Verlander, the clock is ticking, goes out and makes a rehab start, they think two. That would give him 7-8 max regular season starts as the Astros hope he can fortify rotation for the stretch drive, with a schedule having the aforementioned 18 days in a row playing and then a subsequent stretch of 16 days in a row playing. So next year, you know, it's still the honeymoon phase with Yusei Kikuchi, right? Two starts don't mean the Astros conclusively won the trade, but if he pitches well and is comfortable here, re-signing him, because it wouldn't be a long-term mega dollar deal, they absolutely are going to have to add at least one starting pitcher this offseason.
Yeah, if we go in just kind of our best guess for next year, Fromber, Hunter Brown, Blanco, Arrigetti. It looks like Arrigetti's sticking in this rotation. I don't see any other options right now. And then, of course, Garcia would be your fifth guy, assuming that his recovery goes well and he's good to go for next year. If you look at the farm system, you know, we heard Dana Brown didn't want to give up AJ Blueball. I just looked up his numbers. He's got a 4.20 ERA in Sugarland, not exactly, you know, blowing away the competition in the minor leagues. So how much can you count on him for next year? And we've seen that they like to go to a six-man rotation when they can. And, you know, Arrigetti's still going to be a young guy that they don't want to pile up too many innings on. So, yeah, I think they're going to have to look at another starter. And based in another guy, we haven't even talked, J.P. France, shoulder surgery, right? Can we count on him for next year? And especially how spring training went this year, where people were saying like, hey, Dana, you might want to add another pitcher, and they didn't do it. And then look what they had to give up for Kikuchi. You could see them prioritizing getting some more starting pitching in here in the offseason.
Yeah, if backed by decent underlying numbers, 4.20 for a starting pitcher in the Pacific Coast League actually isn't horrible, but no one thinks Blueball is an elite prospect. Ryan Gusto's a guy who's on a nice little run at AAA. Is he emerging as an option for next season, or is it a nice little run at AAA? But believing that, oh, we have all the internal options handled and we have depth, obviously did not work out for the 2024 Astros. To just throw one more name, I expect Jose Urquidy to be non-tendered. I mean, his arm seems to be in tatters. You're going to pay him a salary arbitration number for 2025 when who knows when he'd be able to pitch. So, hey, you know, it's about the stretch run here in 2024, but good organizations are always looking beyond tomorrow and the next week, and they have work to do and payroll constrictions likely for 2025.
Yeah, we have to remember, too, that Arrigetti getting this much time was not part of the original plan. So it's not pie in the sky to hope that Arrigetti can use this experience and develop for next season. And obviously he's getting a lot of meaningful experience right now, and especially getting him stretched out. Maybe he takes a step forward and can be a pleasant surprise for you in the way that Hunter Brown's taken a step forward for you. I mean, not the same guy and certainly not the same level prospect, but maybe he takes a step forward. that's going to be it for this episode of Stone Cold Shows. Remember to join us for the live post-game reaction for Texans Steelers Friday night following conclusion of that game over on our other YouTube channel, Sports Map Texans. So we invite you to join us there. And you can also catch us on a brand new episode of Stone Cold Stroh's next week on Monday, just like every Monday, right here on Sports Map Houston. Until next time, go Stroh's.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.